focus of today. We began last week discussing what it means to be a healthy church. And last week I told you that our goal for Southmont is to be just that, a healthy church. Not a perfect church. We're not going to be a perfect church because we are not a perfect people. And we, the people, are the church. And so our goal is not to be perfect, but our goal is to be healthy. We want, more than anything else, to be a body of born-again believers that are growing, as we should be, that are growing as a result of our saving faith relationship that we have placed in Jesus Christ. One of the ways that I think we can think of the church is the way that we think of a hospital. And so in a lot of ways, the church is a hospital. It's a hospital for sinners to come and get well. Just like you go to a hospital because there's something physically wrong with you, when you go to the hospital, you go into that hospital with a desire to get well. Amen? No one goes into the hospital going, I have no desire to get well. The only reason you go to the hospital is because there is a desire to say, I want to get well. I want to get over whatever it is that is ailing me, whatever it is that is causing the sickness. Well, that is what the church is. That is who we are. We are sinners. We are not perfect. We have a spiritual sickness called sin. But we are coming to the great physician, Jesus Christ, to be healed of that spiritual sickness, of that sin disease. And while we are here, it is our desire through Christ to overcome our sin, to overcome and fight against this sin nature that we've been born with, and walk in victory, become spiritually healthy through our great physician, Jesus Christ. When you think about it, if someone was in a hospital, and the doctors within that hospital, they're going to have no desire to continue to spend time with someone who comes there and says, I do not want to get well. And so I'm not going to take your medicine. I'm not going to take your shots. I'm not going to do anything you tell me to do. Well, at some point, the hospital is going to say, then there's nothing we can do for you. The doctors are going to say, there's nothing more we can do for you. It's time for you to move on. Well, that same mentality needs to be us as believers. We don't want to just come and say, God, we're here just to take up a spot, just like a person in a hospital would say, I'm just here to take up a bed. I just need a bed, and this is the best place I can find a bed, and so I don't have any desire to get well. Well, at some point, the hospital is going to say, we are about giving life to people. We are about giving health to people. And if you have no desire to be healthy, then you're not in the right place. Well, that same mentality needs to be us as believers in Jesus Christ. We want to fight against sin. We don't want to just come and take up a spot and say, God, I have no desire for you to make me well. I have no desire for you to make me healthy. I have no desire for you to get me to a place where I can daily win the battle of sin in my life, because I want to be spiritually healthy, and I know that the only way I can be spiritually healthy is to follow you. The only way I can be spiritually healthy is to listen to you, to receive you, to put my faith, my hope, and my trust in all of that you are as the great physician and all that you tell me to do, and in faith, that's what I'm going to do. You see, when we go to a hospital, we go to a doctor, we are putting great faith that that doctor knows what he or she is talking about. Amen? Because we don't, in a lot of ways, we don't really know. I mean, he says, hey, take this medicine, or she says, hey, you need to get this shot, or he says, hey, you need to have this surgery. Well, what are we doing? We're saying, I'm putting great faith that you know what you're talking about, and so I'm going to take that medicine, I'm going to have that surgery, putting my faith and trust in you that when I do this, it is going to make me physically better. It's going to make me physically well. Well, that's what we do with Jesus Christ, the great physician. Spiritually, we say, Jesus, I trust that when you say to do this, this is what will help me get well spiritually. This is what will help me be better. When you say put my faith, my hope, my trust in you, when you say that this is how I need to act, this is how I need to behave, this is what I need to incorporate into my life, then in those moments, that is when we as a church are saying, I want to be a healthy church. Because we are putting our faith and our trust in you, the great physician. And so last week we began this discussion of what a healthy church looks like. And we began to identify some key elements or some characteristics of a healthy church as we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And so let me just give you a quick review from what we said last week. There on your outline, we said a healthy church consists of genuine Christians who are all in. And that's because in the very first two verses of 2 Thessalonians 1, it says, to the church of the Thessalonians who are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that is where it starts. It starts about being in relationship with God, being in this relationship where we accept, we receive, we put our faith, we put our trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are fully committed to Him. There on your outline, it says there, your relationship to Christ and your membership of the universal church, the universal body, will find its expression in your relationship to and your membership within the local church. And how we are in relationship with Christ will be lived out in our membership of the local church. Your all-in and full commitment to Christ will always be expressed in your commitment to the church. And the health of any church, be there, begins with the health of its members' relationship to Christ. Amen? It all begins with our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're going to be a healthy church, it will be because we are a people who are genuine believers, who have entered into a saving faith relationship with Christ, in which we are fully committed and all in. Our being in Christ and our commitment to Him will be lived out and expressed inside of the church. Our commitment to Christ will be seen in our commitment to His church. And that was last week. And this morning, then we're going to focus on the rest of these verses, verses 3 through 5 out of 2 Thessalonians 1, and look at four other elements of a healthy church. So Roman numeral 2 there on your outline, other elements of a healthy church. Here's what verses 3 through 5 in 2 Thessalonians 1 says. It says, we might always give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you towards one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. And so the very next element there of a healthy church is one, a healthy church, it says, will have a great and a growing faith in God. So if we're going to be a healthy church, then we are going to be healthy because we have a faith that is great in who God is, what God can do, what God is wanting to do, and what we believe God is capable of. So it's a faith that is going to be growing as we experience God doing the miraculous in and through our lives as individual believers, but even more so in and through our lives corporately as a body of Christ, as we witness and watch and see things happening in our lives and in people's lives and in those within this body of Christ around us that can't be explained because of anything that we could do on our own or that we could accomplish with our strength or our power. And so we grow in our faith as we experience God in our life and in our church. A healthy church will have a great and a growing faith in God, because that's exactly what the very first part of verse 3 says. It says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. Your faith is greatly enlarged. The primary way that a healthy church's faith is going to grow or going to be seen or going to be expressed is in the way it listens to and it obeys God as He has revealed His will to us through His Word. And so there on your outline, I put A, a healthy church's faith will be expressed in the way that it listens to and obeys the Word of God. And so if we want to be a healthy church in 2019, then we will be a healthy church when we are living out and expressing our faith and our trust in God through our obedience to Him as He has revealed to us what He wants us to do, the way that He wants us to live, the things that He wants us to be about, as He has recorded for us in His inspired Word called the Bible. Our faith is going to find its expression most fully as we listen to what God has told us in His Word and then act upon it and then do it. Everything that we do outwardly here as a church in 2019 is going to be done because God has told us to do it through His Word. And so in 2019, when we go and we proclaim the gospel, we evangelize, we share our faith with people, we're not doing that because some of us in the church got together and put on our thinking cap and said, hey, what is something that would be really neat for us to do? Let's go and share our faith. We're not doing it because we got together and decided it was a good idea. We're going to go out and proclaim the gospel. Why? Because that's what God has instructed us to do in His Word. Amen? And so it's an act of obedience. We're not going to gather on Sunday mornings to worship the Lord because we thought that would just be a pretty neat idea for a bunch of us to come together on Sunday morning and sing some songs together and fellowship with one another and get into His Word together. We're doing that because that's what He's instructed us to do in His Word. We're not going to come together and minister to each other and fellowship with one another and care for one another because we think it's a good idea. It's because God says it's a good idea. God says that's what we need to do. All of the actions that will be done at our church in 2019 should be an expression of our faith as being obedient to what God has told us we need to be doing. A healthy church is a church whose faith will be growing, will be enlarged as we listen and obediently follow what God says. This is why all throughout Scripture, and I just referenced a few places there, we are told not only to hear, not only to listen, but to obey. So for example, Matthew 7, 24 through 26, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does what? Acts upon them. Not just hears them, but then actually believes that what he says is true, believes that what he says should be done, needs to be done, will bless us if we do it, and then does them. Everyone who hears my words, he says, and acts upon them is compared to a wise person who's built his house upon a rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine, he says, and does not act upon them is a foolish man who's built his house upon the sand. Not only hearing, but doing. Luke 11:28, Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the words of God and then do what? Observe it. Hear the word of God and observe it and actually do it. James 1:22 says, prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So don't just listen to it and then disregard it, but actually do it, James says. And then he goes on to say in verse 14 and 17 of James 2, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? In other words, if he says he has faith, but he has no obedience, if he's not following through with that faith in obedience to what God has revealed for him to do through his word, then he says, what use is your faith? And his answer is, it is useless. It's worthless. Your faith has no bearing if you do not act upon it in obedience to what God has said. That's why he says in verse 17, if you have faith, but you have no works, or if you have no obedience, that's what he's talking about. And then he says, your faith is dead. It has no real bearing to it at all. And so if we are going to grow our faith in 2019 and be a healthy church that is living out its faith, it will be because we are feeding our faith on the essential nutrients to stay healthy spiritually that are found in God's Word. And so I put there on your outline be a healthy church will feed and grow, will feed and grow its faith on the Word of God. Our faith needs to be fed. And the way that it will be fed, a healthy, spiritually nutritious diet, will be because it is being fed the truth of God's Word. The way that we feed our faith, the way that we nourish our faith, the way that we give it the essential spiritual vitamins and minerals that it will need to grow is by feeding it the Word of God. Again, this is why Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Paul tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, we need to long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it we may grow in respect to our salvation. Just as we must feed our physical bodies all of the essential elements and nutrients that it needs to stay healthy, so we must feed our faith. Feed our faith. And the way that we feed our faith is with the Word of God. And so, see there, a healthy church is going to feed its faith on the Word of God through the consistent teaching and preaching of Scripture. And so in 2019, we want to make sure that we are doing that, that we are consistently preaching the Word and that we are consistently teaching the Word through our Sunday school classes, through our men's ministry, through our women's ministry, through our children's ministry, our youth ministry, whatever we want to be about doing in 2019, we want to make sure the consistent thing that we are doing is we are feeding our membership. We are feeding our church the truth of God's Word through consistent teaching and preaching. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, he says, make sure you are preaching the Word in season and out of season. He just means all the time. That's what you need to be about. That's what Timothy was an elder or was a pastor. He was a leader of the church, and Paul was instructing him. If you're going to lead the church, he says, here's the one thing that you want to make sure you're doing. Preach the Word. Teach the Word. All the time. In season, out of season, whatever season it might be, you make sure that the one constant, the one consistent thing that you are doing is you are feeding the faith of your people with the Word of God. And that's what we want to be in 2019, to be a healthy church, is a church whose faith is being fed and then being lived out and expressed as we feed the Word of God through the teaching and preaching. And then the next way that a healthy church is going to feed its faith on the Word of God is by the consistent reading of Scripture. And so we want to, as individuals, remember it's all about how healthy we're going to be corporately is going to be based on how healthy we're going to be as individuals, individual members of the body. So if the hand is not as fully healthy as it should be, then that's going to affect the whole body. If the foot is not as healthy as it should be, it's going to have an effect on the whole body. Well, if we are not consistently getting into the Word as believers and doing what Colossians 3:16 tells us when it says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Richly means let it abundantly be filling your heart and your mind and your life. Let the Word of God be richly dwelling within you. And that is only going to happen when we are taking time to get into the Word daily, making sure that we are investing our time into this document called the Bible, called the Word of God, called Scripture, by which our faith is going to be fed. And then we will consistently do this when we memorize Scripture. We want to be consistently memorizing Scripture as well. We want to be teaching it. We want to be preaching it. We want to be reading it. But then we want to be hiding it in our heart and in our mind. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3 says, the blessed man is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he's going to meditate on it day and night. It means he's going to be thinking about it. He's going to be pondering it. He's going to be putting his mind on it day and night. And then he's going to be like a tree who's firmly planted by a stream of water. And it will yield fruit in season, and its leaf will not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Why? Because he is memorizing. She is memorizing, meditating on the Word. Psalm 119:11 says, your Word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you, or your word I've treasured in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Because the more God's word is richly indwelling us and we are taking it in, then the more God is going to lead and guide us. So we will not be a healthy church in 2019 if we neglect to feed our faith on God's word and then live out that faith in obedience. You can maybe even picture it this way. Imagine a child whose father has gone away on a long journey. And while he's away, the father writes letters to his child, telling his child, this is what you need to do in order to carry on our family name, and this is what you need to do to conduct our family business in the appropriate manner. And if that child totally neglects the letters of the father, fails to read those letters, or fails to act upon those letters, then he is not going to represent his father very well. He's not going to be conducting the father's business very well. And that's going to be exactly true of us in 2019 if we neglect the word of God, which is our father's letter to us. Another element of a healthy church is, too, there. A healthy church will have a great and a growing love for one another. Back there in 2 Thessalonians, the very second part of verse 3, it says, the love of each one of you towards one another grows ever greater. An essential element of a healthy church is the way that that church is going to care for and love their siblings within the church. Remember, I told you last week that as Christians who are in Christ, we are a family. We are adopted into the family of God. And when we are adopted into the family, we have brothers and sisters who carry the same name we do, Christian, after the one who has adopted us, Jesus Christ. And we are not a dysfunctional family. At least we should not be. We are to be a family who fellowships and who loves and who cares for one another. We are to be a family that is closely knit together through our unity and through our love. And so I put on your outline, the love the church has for one another is the way that we most clearly reflect the character of Christ. The love that we're going to have for one another is going to be how we are most clearly going to reflect the character of Christ. We who were once not a part of the family of God, through our faith in Jesus, have been made a part of the family of God. Galatians 3:26 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in Galatians 4:6 it says, because you are a son of God, we can cry out in our hearts, Abba, Father. In other words, we are intimately connected to our Father. And as children, what are we to do? As children of God, well, we're to display the character of our Father. We're to display the likeness of our Father. We're to display the image of our Father. That's why Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God as what? Beloved children. And that's exactly what we are to do. And if we want to imitate the character of our Father, then we do that when we love each other. This is why Jesus says to the disciples in John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. They will know that you belong to me, he says, if you have love for one another. He says, here is the one distinguishing trait. Here is the one character mark of your life that will set you apart and that you will be identified with me more clearly. You will be reflecting who I am. You will be reflecting my image, my character more clearly when you are loving one another. And it's why 1 John 4:21, we are told, the commandment we have from God the Father is this, that the one who loves God should love his brother as well. If we're going to be a healthy church in 2019, it'll be because we love one another. It'll be because we love one another even when we disagree with one another. Amen? It's not that we're always going to agree. Hopefully we're going to agree on the essentials. But there's going to be some things that we might disagree with. There's going to be some disagreements maybe on what color a carpet should be. There's going to be a disagreement on a lot of some of minor things. But even when we don't all agree, here's what we can all absolutely do to represent and reflect the image of our Father. And it's this: we're going to love each other. And we're going to show that love in how we talk to each other, how we express ourselves to one another, how we care for each other, how we minister to one another, and how we treat each other. And that is going to be the mark of a healthy church. Another element of a healthy church mentioned here in 2 Thessalonians is number 3 there on your outline. A healthy church will remain steadfast in the midst of troubled times. Verse 4 in 2 Thessalonians 1 there says, "We speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance," or for your steadfastness, "and your faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure." And I put A there on your outline. A healthy church will not abandon its faith in God during difficult times. As a church, we are not immune to difficult times. Jesus said as much. John 16:33. He says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world." We are not immune to affliction. We're not immune to persecution. We're not immune to difficult moments. But a healthy church will keep her faith in the midst of difficult times, whatever those may be. And rather than run away from God in the midst of hard, difficult moments, grieving moments that we have to face, that we maybe have to endure, we're going to run to God rather than away from God. And we're going to say, "God, I believe you and what your word tells me. And I believe, and because my faith is being fed by the truth of your word." So when we read truths like Romans 8:18 and Romans 8:28 that says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us one day." And then Romans 8:28, when he says, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." And so we're going to remain steadfast. And we're not going to quit, and we're not going to give up, and we're not going to turn and say, "God, we don't trust you anymore." As a matter of fact, the greater the persecution or the greater the affliction, the greater the difficulty is going to cause us to run to God even more and cry out to him and say, "God, we need you." And then a healthy church will also not abandon its fellowship with the church during difficult times. You know, one of the things that Scripture teaches us about persevering, and this goes back to our commitment to Christ as a reflection of our commitment to the church, is that the church is pictured as a bride. And we don't have time this morning to read this, all these verses, but if you go to Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 32, the church is pictured as a bride, and it's pictured as that which Christ loves, and he loves the church unconditionally, and he talks about the church. And then in verse 32, Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says this. He says, "I'm writing this, and it's a mystery, and here's the mystery. The mystery is Christ and the church." And he compares it to the church and our relationship with Christ to a marriage. And here's the one truth that Scripture points out. He says, "Your God, your husband." So he, Christ, is the groom. We, the church, are the bride. And here's what he says. He says, "Your groom will never leave you or forsake you." Hebrews 13:5 says, "He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He himself has said, I will not desert you. I will not forsake you." And so that is the same commitment that he wants to make to him. "I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Even in the most difficult, hard moments, I'm going to stay faithful to you." And that expression of faithfulness to Christ finds its expression in our faithfulness to the church. And so a healthy church is not going to abandon our faith in God. We're not going to abandon our fellowship with one another. And then a final element of a healthy church that is mentioned here in 2 Thessalonians 1 is this. A healthy church will treasure Jesus above everything else. A healthy church is going to treasure Jesus above all else. Verse 5 there in 2 Thessalonians says, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. And so the question is, well, what does that mean when a church is considered worthy of the kingdom? Are they considered worthy because they've earned or they have deserved this place of being in the family? And that's not what he's talking about. And I think the key word there is you are considered worthy. Considered. You're considered worthy for one reason is because not that you've earned it, not that you've deserved it, but you're considered worthy because you have chosen in faith to treasure Jesus above all things. And so because of your faith in Christ, and because of the faith that you live out in obedience to Him as expressed in your choices and decisions in the life that you are living, you are considered worthy. Not that you really are worthy, but you're considered worthy because you have chosen to place Christ as first, as preeminent, as priority over everything else in life. And if we're going to be a healthy church in 2019, then Christ always has to be first and foremost about everything that we do. Amen? It can never be about us. It can never be about, well, this is about me and this is about who I am and what I want. It always has to be about, this is who Jesus is and this is who He wants us to be. That's why at the very end of that video we just watched, I love when it says, this is not our church really. This is His church. And everything that we want to be about, we want to say, God, You are the one that we treasure above everything else because this is Your church. And everything that we do, and that goes back to what I told you last week, a healthy church is going to seek to glorify God in all that it does. In all that it does. Because we treasure Jesus and who He is and His glory above everything. Above ourself, above our wants, our desires, because we want to make sure that our desires are always His desires, and for His glory, and for the magnification of who He is. I reference Matthew 10:37 there, where Jesus just says, he who loves father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Just saying, if he's not preeminent in our life, then we're not worthy. We won't be considered worthy. Ultimately, none of us are worthy. But to be considered worthy means that we've put Jesus first and foremost in our life. There's a parable that Jesus shares in Matthew 22 that we don't have time to read, but it's a parable about where people are being invited to come to the banquet. They're being invited to come to salvation, if you will. And the very end of the parable, or right in the middle of the parable, when people are just saying, no, I'm too busy and I've got other things and I've got this business to tend to and I've got this relationship that I got to take care of and I've got all of these things that I need to do. And then Jesus says this. Verse 8, he says, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Why weren't they worthy? They were invited, but they weren't worthy. Why? Because they chose to put themselves or something or someone else ahead of Jesus. If we're going to be a healthy church in 2019, Jesus has to be put first above everything else. A healthy church is going to be a church of genuine believers who are all in. If we're going to be a healthy church, we have to have a great and a growing faith. As our faith is fed on the Word of God and followed and observed in our obedience to that Word, a healthy church is going to be a church that has a great and a growing love for one another. It's going to be a church that remains steadfast in our commitment to God and to His bride, the church, and it's going to be a church that treasures Christ above all else. May those be the marks, the characteristics, the elements of who we are in 2019, and may it all be for God's glory. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, our prayer is very simple this morning. And it's simply this. I just ask for you to make us, help us to be a healthy church. We want to be a church, Father, where you are constantly working miracles in our life, where you are spiritually doing that which we could never do on our own, to help us to be healthy, to help us to overcome sin, to help us to win the daily battles that we fight. But may the desire of our heart be, God, we want to be spiritually healthy. So may you do a great work in our church in 2019 as we aspire to be a healthy church. And may it all be for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.